Greetings from Toronto, Ontario. I am Shmuel Neft, otherwise known as Rabbi NFT.
And I'm Dovey Keepman, joining you from Erie, Pennsylvania. Welcome to the Millennial Rabbis Podcast.
As Chabad rabbis born in the 90s, we bridged the gap between two very distinct Jewish communities on opposite shores of Lake Erie.
Join us as we navigate the complexities of the modern world, offering fresh perspectives on the challenges we face today.
Let's make sense of it all together. Welcome back, everybody. We want to make sure to start with something very eye-opening. That was just a way to catch your attention.
Listen, it's good to be back. Head, I can put stuff in my mouth, okay?
That's right. It happens to be that this is not what I have in my head is part of today's discussion. But first of all, Dovey, it's good to be back on our second episode. This episode is going to be dropping Thursday, Erev Rosh Chodesh, otherwise known as the 11th of January. Today is the 1st of January. We just happened to not have so much availability next week to film, so we did a little early. So it's awesome. We so far have 300 people either watched or listened to episode number one. So,
or it was one person who watched it 300 times.
Or one person watch it 300 times, but that is dedication, and I like that too.
It's dedication. It's also a little bit creepy, but we're okay with that.
We're okay with that. We are open and accepting of all. Now, so yes, first of all, thank you to all of those who gave us a listen. A lot of our friends, my friends, your friends, our mutual friends, together with members of my community, listen to it. I don't know. Did you have members of your community listen to it also?
I did. I didn't get feedback from them, but I know they listened to it. They let me know that they listened to it.
Generally, I find that the non-Chabad crowd, most normal people, aren't the ones giving feedback. 90% of the feedback came from the Chabadnikim. I think we should have anticipated that. So before we segue into today's discussion, we have to correct the record. And I want to discuss some of the feedback. So first of all, can you explain what you're doing, Rabbi?
Okay, this is Jewish stuff. This is called Tachanun, where we're like, we bang our chest to confess our sins. So we made some sins.
We have sins to confess. Things
that need some correction from last week's episode.
There's one specific correction we have to make. Last week, Dovey brought up the beautiful story of there's no such thing as a small Jew, where the Lubavitcher Rebbe wrote, the Lubavitcher Rebbe was corresponding with someone from a distant Jewish community. You said Argentina, I said Tasmania, and I was adamant that Tasmania, it actually turns out, and I knew this, Tasmania as a remote Jewish community actually has a very fascinating history, specifically from in the last 40, 50 years in its connection with Chabad and the Rabbi Gutnick from Australia doing visits over there and kind of setting the stone for what is today is a thriving, isolated Jewish community. It has a Chabad house, a mikveh, etc. But that story happened in Curaçao, and I hope we are properly pronouncing that. We had
I think one of the letters in there has a little squiggle on top.
Below. What's the squiggle below? What is this, like turkey or something? Anyways, the point is like this. We had a waterfall of Chabadniks messaging and outrage. How could you mess up the story? So we're not going to tell the story again. We will include in the show notes a little write-up about the story. It's a beautiful story. And it has an impact until today, but we have to clear the record, guys. It's Curaçao. We admit, like Dovey, we admit our sins, and we are very, very happy to hear a lot of feedback. Like I said, most of them from our friends, because I think our friends feel more comfortable expressing what they think about the things that we do. It's a very Jewish trait, by the way, giving feedback. Jews love to give feedback.
All feedback, all comments, criticism, love. Virtual hugs. We're all good with that.
And you should know there was a point in time, you know, since we released that episode where I thought to myself, maybe I regret asking for feedback. But one of the feedbacks I got was to thanks to my very fancy microphone. You also have one. It picks up on a lot of noise and I have you just made the noise. I have a little itchy throat situation, especially now. I actually have a bit of a cold. So in general, that's why I'm sipping coffee over here. I need something hot. I have to do a little less throat clearing. I have one friend, shout out Yossi, for putting a good word in there. A lot of people told me, Dovey, that I interrupt you a lot. So I'm going to work on that.
What?
Did you feel interrupted last episode?
What? I'm just going to keep interrupting you. What was it? There was something else that came up. There was requests. No, I don't feel like you interrupt me.
Thank you.
There were requests made that we also, at some point in this podcast, introduce once in a while some guests. Interview speaker, chill man, person thing. I think that's really a good idea.
It's a great idea. I think once we get settled into the industry of podcasting, then I think, yeah, we'll definitely you know what? Maybe should we leave it over to the community of our listeners to suggest who should come onto our podcast?
That sounds like a terrible idea, but go at it. Let's
entertain me. once in a while, I think it'd be really cool to include maybe some of our friends and colleagues, maybe venerated colleagues that are, you know, a little older than millennials. We'll see how this goes. Like we said, we just love doing this. First of all, I love talking to you, Dovey. That's number one. Number two, I love, like we speaking about last week, this podcast, I think, is great. And I really enjoy doing this and putting out there interesting content for people to benefit from in whatever way possible. So if it's our friends in the car, you know, taking their kids to school every day and they're listening to us, amazing. If it's a member of the Erie community that is in love with the rabbi and wants to hear what you have to say, amazing. If it's even just for, you know, some people think that it's comedic, whatever it is, guys,
whatever it is,
we're here, we're going to be doing this. And we're really, you know, we really enjoy it. So I guess segueing into what we wanted to talk about, it's a few days before, but this episode is actually releasing Thursday, Rosh Chodesh Shvat in the Hebrew month. The Hebrew month of Shvat is the beginning of the Hebrew month of Shvat. It also is the 11th of January. And when this episode airs, I'm going to be on my way to New York City, to Brooklyn. A lot of people know. In fact, a lot of friends of mine make fun of me for being in New York more than I'm in Toronto, although it's not true. It just happens to be that my trips to New York somehow all fall very close to each other in proximity. it was like in October, it was like after Sukkot. I went to New York three different times in a month and a half. So like people are like, oh, you must have an apartment here or something.
Yeah, they also forget that the, you know, a month, for example, is 30 days, 31 days, 29 days, 3 days out of those, you're there, you're visiting. Yeah.
Visiting
home.
Exactly. So this time I'm coming home not by myself, but I actually have a fantastic opportunity. My wife and I are bringing in a group of 12 young Jews from Toronto, from our amazing community.
Yeah, Rabbi Shmuel, can you tell us more about that? It looks like you have a billboard on your head.
Oh, yes. So... why am I wearing the Do More Jewish hat? Not just in my advertising exclusive new Do More Jewish merch. Those that are listening know about the Do More Jewish campaign that came about as a result of the horrific war in Israel.
And if you don't know about it, then find out about it.
If you don't know about it, you probably live under a rock or in the 1920s.
Or both.
Or
imagine
both.
Living under a rock in the 1920s?
Would be terrible.
Be simpler.
So yeah, so Do More Jewish is the order of the day, and we're coming in with this group, and I'll explain to you how this, you know, for what and how this group came together. But we wanted to come in with a group. I wanted to come in with a group uniform.
I'll watch your statuses.
An entire two cars full of people wearing the Do More Jewish merchandise, but everyone was obviously on board that we should come together as a group wearing Do More Jewish and showing off our Do More Jewish pride. So I guess I could take it off now because it's a bit warm.
Can you just give us a little insight just for a minute? What does this phrase Do More Jewish actually mean? It sounds so obvious and so simple, but maybe you can elaborate a little bit.
So I'll give you the background as follows. There was a every year until today, for the Hasidic holiday of the 19th of Kislev, which is the what we call the Rosh Hashanah of the Hasidic movement, there's a massive gathering in Israel in the Chabad. I wanted to call it a village, but it's really not a village. It's like it's Crown Heights with palm trees. That's what I call Kfar Chabad. It's a place. It's a place packed with people. This town called Kfar Chabad is the main Chabad community in Israel. They have the main synagogue, and they host this massive farbrengen, this massive gathering for the 19th of Kislev. And one of the highlights of the gathering, and this is the way that actually the Rebbe personally suggested that they create an event that basically brings in some of the biggest names in Israeli society, mainly politicians, generals, other significant lay leaders, and so prime ministers, presidents, cabinet ministers have come over the years and still continue to come. So one year, Ariel Sharon, originally of Yom Kippur War fame, and then of 2005 Gaza engagement infamy, was speaking. I don't remember exactly what year. I believe it was in the late 70s, early 80s. Of course, the Chabadnikim will make sure that I know, and we'll have to end up correcting that at some point. Was speaking at the big Yutis Kislev Farbrengen, and had mentioned about his private audience with Lubavitcher Rebbe. And he was saying he had gone to the Rebbe as part of a larger trip to visit diaspora Jewry in America. And I believe he was already a cabinet minister. He wasn't a general anymore. Yeah. And he had visited communities and spoken to youth. And was telling the Rebbe how he had realized that the older generation were raised as Jews, many observant, and actually, practice some of their Judaism. Whereas the younger generation, he says, at the very least that they know that they're Jewish. And that was the motif of his speaking tour, that when he was speaking to the youth, he was telling them about maintaining a Jewish pride. And obviously in the larger, framework of Zionism and recognizing that you have a homeland and there's a nation and all this stuff. And the Rebbe said to him, that's all good and fine, but that's not enough. See, a Jew, it's one thing for a Jew to be called a Jew and be part of this national identity. And that's, that's okay. But a Jew is a lot more than just a national identity. A Jew isn't just Jewish as an adjective. I'm sorry. A Jew does Jewish. And so it's actually been something that it's really cool because I've been saying for many years already, don't just be Jewish, do Jewish. And I would tell different people that I would meet and all the way back to Kazakhstan and the yeshiva days when we'd go out on Fridays, because this was an expression of the education that we were getting back in those days, which is that Judaism is a lot more than just a national identity. It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle, and it's really all of this comes from the expression of the soul that every Jew has. So the Rebbe basically puts him in place and says, it's not enough to be Jewish. You got to do Jewish. And that should be the main focus. Now, so what happened was is the whole October 7th attack happened. And that following Friday, we had already had scheduled our monthly Friday night dinner for young adults, for a young professionals community. And I decided resolutely right away that we were going to continue doing it. It was supposed to be Thai themed food, canceled that. We did an Israeli night. That was actually also the International Day of Global Jihad. And so I, as I many times do, at these dinners, we had over 50 people. We had a crowd that I felt like everyone really wanted to be together in that moment. And I got up and I made a fiery speech about what was going on after a few l'chaims, obviously. So, I usually after a few l'chaims, just a few, it doesn't take very much.
Then the real rabbis come out.
That's right. You start to get the real shmuley neft. And then a few more l'chaims, you already get the shmuley neft that you don't want to see. That's why I don't drink anymore. I don't drink at all, like in general. Like, I'm not a drinker. That's my problem. Say two l'chaims, I'm gone. Anyway, I got up, fiery speech, and I whipped this out. It's not good enough anymore to be Jewish. We have to do more Jewish. And then it broke out. I started a chant. Do more Jewish. do more, the whole room, do more Jewish. And then, like most of my gimmicks, some of my gimmicks, at least the most interesting ones end up becoming stickers. And then from stickers, it goes into a whole new, and I'll do more Jewish. See?
I don't come up backwards on the recording, but.
Dovey.
This Dovey, is your second footprint in Erie. The first one's my Italian.
You are the official liaison, more Jewish liaison to Erie. That's
nobody else. I guess I am. Yeah.
I didn't realize that my sticker on your phone. Anyway, that's the idea of do more Jewish. It's nothing new. It's nothing new. The only thing is like we talked about last week is utilizing your own character and personality to bring out and do more Jewish has taken the place by storm. We have a flag. I have signs up all over my Chabad house of do more Jewish. Everyone's walking around with the stickers. Now we have the hats, and it's amazing because this is exactly what we got to be doing. We have to be inspiring the people in whatever way possible.
Right.
So that's the story behind do more Jewish. Now do more Jewish has become de facto the identity of my community. Everyone young and old has bought into the do more Jewish. And so when we thought that our group that's coming into New York, we want to have a uniform. So the people voted for Do More Jewish. Now, I have to clear my throat less. You should talk now.
Yeah. Okay, so you're coming to Crown Heights, which is the Chabad World Headquarters. For those who don't know, now you know. You are now 1% smarter and more informed than you were 3 minutes ago. And you'll be taking these young professionals on a whirlwind, I don't know what, tour, programming, event, all of the above, none of the above, party something, which is revolving around essentially Do More Jewish, not supposed to be, but that's really what it is. Everything is Do More Jewish in our books. And it sounds like something really, really exciting is in store. What might that be?
So it's all of the above, but it's really, I'll call it a journey. So this is the third time that I'm doing such a trip. We're bringing a group to join groups from all over the world, actually, including from Europe, of young adult communities coming together for a weekend in Crown Heights. Through the central organization that's called Chabad Young Professionals, which is a branch of Chabad World Headquarters, which is just a program that has already begun to span the world in its reach, bringing together young Jews into communities that speak to them. So this is the third such group that I'm bringing in. I brought in I came in with a group 2 years ago. Last year, and now this is the third year. And there's actually something very special about this group. This group, for the most part, first of all, it's the first time I'm coming with my wife. So shout out to Esther. That's number one. Number two, which is amazing. And I think that coming with my wife adds a lot more to the journey and the effect of what's going to be going on.
Right, because you have your talents, and she has her talents, and like together you just make one big awesome.
Exactly. Without her, I wouldn't be able to do it. And so it only makes sense, especially that we have 12 people plus us. It's seven girls and five guys. So there's more girls and guys. They need the feminine influence. So shout out to my parents and in-laws for taking care of my kids. We have to obviously say thank you. Thank you. The world thanks you. The Jewish community thanks you.
The universe
thanks you. What's unique about this group is that most of the participants in our delegation, our Do More Jewish delegation, are a group of people that attend a weekly class that I give. I give, and it's another CYP operation, Chabadic Professionals. It's called CYP Academy. It's a series of very interesting courses that we go through, for a 4 or 5 part course each time about very interesting, fascinating topics in Judaism that are relevant to people of this age group. And so it created this really tight knit group that I really, really love. And I've told people, like, guys, this is what it's all about. when we come together, we learn Torah, and then we become friends. Like, everyone's becoming friends with each other. They hang out with each other outside of, you know, class. We're all traveling together. We're first New York, and everyone wants to go to, we do a trip to Guatemala in May, and we're looking forward to a trip to Morocco in June. All together, all is this, like, really tight-knit group, and it's really, really, really awesome. Like, we actually got, a bunch of us got together on Xmas Eve, the 24th of December, to eat Chinese food. Just, you know, like, gathering together. So it's an amazing group. We're coming in for an amazing program. And it's not a program, it's a journey. It's a weekend together with Jews from all over the world in the hundreds. Last year was about 400. It's probably going to be that many or more, coming from all over the place. And enjoying a Shabbat together, very classy. In other words, a very high level standard of, you know, of programming, and a lot of food, and it's, everything's very beautiful and beautifully set up, and it's really, you know, properly done in a community that, besides from the fact that, you know, and you know, you grew up in Crown Heights. I didn't grow up in Crown Heights. I spent a lot of time in Crown Heights in my formative years, late teens, you know, early 20s, and lived there. To a place that we hold so near and dear. And that's, you know, and so I love Crown Heights and everything that it has to offer. We'll discuss why I love Crown Heights so much. Different than any other Jewish community, because there's plenty of Jewish communities all over the place. We could be going to one of like 15 beautiful communities in Florida, right? Or you'll have to go like New Jersey, Muncie, New York, you know, these really Jewish communities. Yeah, yeah, but no, we're going to Crown Heights.
Exactly. And Crown Heights is not, I'm going to interrupt. Talk about the interrupting. But Crown Heights is not necessarily the most beautiful looking place on the planet. And sometimes even in certain areas, it's not at all. But it's not really about the way it looks. There's a certain heartbeat, a certain energy there that does not exist anywhere else. And I think these young people, these young Jews, are going to really tap into that really strongly. As you were saying, go ahead. Sorry, I just want to.
No, I like I said, yeah, I owe you a few. So yeah, like you said, exactly. Crown Heights is Brooklyn, smelly, you know, very mixed in the sense of the demographics.
I was actually walking somewhere once in Brooklyn, and a rat ran into my leg. Like, it smacked. It really hurt. That sounds disturbing.
And you have rats over there that are massive. In other words, why don't we just take them to a hotel? Why don't we, you know, a hotel somewhere? You got his kosher hotels. Go to Stamford, Connecticut. Go to a bajillion places to go to. No, we come to Crown Heights. Why? Because the soul of Crown Heights is something that no other community in the world has. And when I add an asterisk, when we were speaking about Kfar Chabad. I spent this year, my wife and I were in Israel. It was the first time I spent quality time in Kfar Chabad. Kfar Chabad is the closest thing to Crown Heights I've ever seen. Like I said, Crown Heights with palm trees. Very, very similar. Obviously, because a bunch of Chabadniks together, right? What else? But Crown Heights is something completely unique. And what's behind that? There's a lot behind that. And I'll tell you like this. You know, hopefully maybe none of the people on my trip are going to be listening to this before the trip ends. But the feedback that I've gotten in the last 2 years doing this trip, what was most resounding in the feedback was not the quality of food, which is very high quality, not the quality of decor, which is very high quality, not the activities, which are very high quality, not the, you know, we do a walking tour around the neighborhood and really, you know, exploring the character of the place. Not that. What people told me was the highlight of their trip were Shabbat meal in community, in the home of a member of a community. We're going to a close friend of ours. Like we do, we always bring our groups over there because it's a really beautiful place. They love that Shabbat meal. They love going to the Ohel, to the Rebbe's resting place. Because of the spiritual power. They love the character of the community, just the people, as being around. It's like I was shocked the first time that I did this group, I was shocked. I really thought that people were going to say, oh, it's such a nice event, so this and that. And obviously those things are important. But the real juice is in the spiritual fabric of the neighborhood.
Right, and especially that your trip is taking place around the 10th of Shvat, which is a big day in Chabad, which is a big day in the Jewish world, which is a big day for the entire universe. The 10th of Shvat is the day that the Rebbe assumed leadership of the Chabad movement in 1950, 1951. I'm saying both for purpose. And
another nod to the Chabadniks.
Yeah. You get your something to play with over there. And it's the energy is just on a high at that point. And I forgot the rest of what I'm going to say. Go ahead. it'll come back. I'll interrupt you again.
So it's like you said, it's in close proximity to the 10th of Shvat, which, like you said, that's the founding moment of this, of all of this, of everything you see in the limited view of the camera we have shining on us, plus everything in the buildings that we're sitting in. And the whole operation of Chabad worldwide, this is where it all began. This is where Lubavitcher Rebbe sat down and said, we have a plan for the world. We have to make this world into a shining, holy place. And it starts with each and every one of you. And it starts with spreading the word, exactly like this. It starts with a podcast. And it goes, and it spans all the way, you know, to bringing people into Crown Heights. And so Crown Heights is imbued with that energy. That Chabad energy that is, and you know, I guess some people will say, oh, you're tooting your own horn so much and talking about, you're so biased towards Chabad. I've been in a lot of Jewish circles, very intimately, and not to say that I want to knock anybody down, and I tell people this very honestly, there's nothing like Chabad. There is nothing like Chabad, and I'm saying that I am biased because I guess I'm an insider, but I'm an insider that went through a lot to get to the inside, and I see it through, you know, without and within, and I realize that the energy that we have, our movement has, our whole thing has, is incomparable. Again, it doesn't mean it's better or worse than anything else. It's unique, and there's no replicating it. And so, going on the Shabbaton with this group. It, you know, we have other trips that we go on, and that's all fun and also really moving and a journey on its own. But if I was going to take a group of people from my community to take them for an immersive experience in a Jewish community in a different place like New York, I wouldn't go to Muncie. I wouldn't go to Lakewood. I wouldn't go to Edison, New Jersey, West Orange, or the Five Towns, or all these other great Jewish communities, because they don't have the Crown Heights
vibe.
And I know that's politically incorrect, and I'm gonna get a lot of comments on that,
a lot of wonderful care. Positive, interestingly worded comments.
It's not about, but it's you know, there's something about Crown Heights, love it or hate it, that is so special. And I feel every time, like, I people know already, I didn't grow up there, spent my formative years in and around there, and for me, it's like a homecoming. And every time I bring a group, I've brought a few different groups on different occasions, and it excites me to show people, this is where I come from. You know, this it starts right here where we're walking.
Right.
And there's nothing like that.
This is what you're describing is very exciting for me to hear. Just in addition to the Crown Heights experience and your reflections on it, just the idea of the CYP, the Chabad Young Professionals, which in Russian would be pronounced Sur, because that's how you write it. anyway, it's just the way my head works. Okay, but it's very interesting to me because, you know, you're dealing with a group of young Jewish people, and where I am, the main crowd is mainly, they're not old, but they're older. Older people, talking people in their 60s, 70s, and 80s. And this is my main crowd, these Jews that I'm, you know, connecting with and hanging around. There are some young people, but it's very, very small in number. And it's to hear your thoughts and your excitement about this gets me excited. And this is news to me. It's fresh for me. So it's not something that, you know, like everyone thinks that every Chabad house does the same thing. At their core, we all do the same thing. But the way it plays out practically looks very different. And depending on the situation, the crowd, the people, the societal blah, whatever. So it's I'm excited to hear about it. And when you come back, you really should give us a good rundown, at least in a nutshell, of how it went. And
we'll definitely discuss it. We're already approaching the half an hour mark. Maybe we could go a few minutes past it, if you're okay with that. Not too long, but the pinnacle.
I think they might shut us down in about 8 seconds.
What's going to shut us down?
They.
Oh, they right. Yeah. Once we hit 5, 4, 3, 2.
Oh, so the pin.
So. I really hope that you also bring members of your community. If it's one at a time, if it's three at a time, five at a time, nowadays, you know, in modern day Chabad, you have a different age group demographic that has a different weekend event in Crown Heights. You have C team for teens. You got the Chabad on campus university Pegisha for university students. You have CYP for young professionals. And then you have the Shabbat in the Heights for adults by JLI. So you can bring everybody on various occasions or just because to show the source of it all. And I think the experience of going to Crown Heights, especially spending a Shabbat there, is so powerful because it's a powerful place. And for us, for me, and I think for the Chabad rabbis of all the generations, especially when we had the Rebbe's physical presence, bringing Jews to the Rebbe was the be all end all. And so there were people that would do this on a regular basis. You had Rabbi Zusha Zilberstein from Montreal who would bring in busloads of students and of young French-speaking people to spend weekends in Crown Heights. And you had, from Toronto, that still continues today, you had a bus full of people every year that would go a specific weekend every single year. And you have different occasions where people could come and to see it for themselves how and what. It's actually really cool. I have there's a gentleman in my community. He's, you know, he's in his 70s. He was part of one, in the early 90s was on one of the Toronto buses to the Rebbe, and he had a moment with the Rebbe twice. He had two different encounters with the Rebbe. He stood in the very famous dollar line. One of the dollars that he got, he actually gave to my oldest son for his third birthday.
Wow.
And this is like, you know, what we would call a simple Jew from Romania. You know, everyone's got a piece in Crown Heights. Everyone is welcome. And what happens when you bring your people to Crown Heights? They're welcome with open arms. And I'm not exaggerating. You know, when I try to sell people coming to Crown Heights, they say, it's ultra Orthodox. It's not my thing. I don't feel comfortable. These people, they're so used at this point to seeing the non-ultra-Orthodox Jews filing in and out day after day. And I mean every day. We lived there together at the same time. Every day you'd be in 770 in the main synagogue or just in the neighborhood, and you'd see like Israelis with dreadlocks and shorts and flip-flops walking up and down the street as if they literally plopped out of their backpacking trip in Mexico. Totally normal, totally not just accepted, but encouraged, open arms. And so many lives have been changed. So many lives have been changed by trips to Crown Heights. So if you're a listener that has not yet visited Crown Heights, first of all, we'd be happy to escort you in the proper time. And if you don't need an escort, you just want to come check it out, especially, you know, friends of mine that live in the New York metro area. This is such a special, unique place. It's so close to you. Check it out. If you're from one of our communities, come with us. If there's no specific occasion, make an occasion. And to our colleagues out there that are running Chabad houses and that are doing, you know, spearheading the Do More Jewish effort wherever they are, bring your people to the Rebbe. This is what it's all about. What do you say, Dovey? What's your final words?
My final words are, I want to give a shout out to our man Moses. You know Moses, yeah? Moses
Mimonson. Like the Moses? Which Moses?
Moses Mimonson. The Rambam. Rabbi Moshe Ben Maimon. Today is his yahrzeit. What a powerhouse of Judaism. What a powerhouse of Jewish leadership and love of fellow Jews and scholarship. Wow. By the way, you should have a little like box pop up on the bottom. Where, like every time we say like a Jewish word that's like a little unfamiliar, it should like say yahrzeit and explain what it is.
We'll have to get serious about our editing. Today is the Rambam's yahrzeit.
Yes, on the day of this recording is the Rambam's yahrzeit, the 20th of Teves.
Of Tevet. Well, just about a year ago, I had the amazing opportunity to bring my wife and son to the Rambam's resting place in Tiberias. Ooh. In Israel.
That is exciting.
The city that you would have no other reason to be in if it wasn't for the Rambam.
Okay. I guess we call it today.
It's 35 minutes in. The people with very little attention spans have already zoned out.
They already made it this far. I mean, it can't hurt.
I doubt that they made it this far. My attention span isn't long enough. So anyway, I'm super excited about this trip, and we're talking, it's a week and a half before, and like, I am so pumped. And,
are you stopping in Erie?
We're not stopping in Erie. We are flying from Buffalo though.
Oh, you're so flying.
No. And Erie's not on the way, but we are flying from Buffalo. So we're driving to Buffalo. So we will be in close proximity with you. So, you know, our hearts are with you, Rabbi Dovey. To our fan base, our amazing fans, we hope that you enjoyed this episode, and we hope that you are anticipating on the edge of your chairs to listen to the next episode. What we're going to talk about, we'll see what will be on our minds, but don't forget, Millennial Rabbis Podcast, follow us, subscribe on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Instagram, follow us on Instagram, and if there's anything that you want us to discuss, we would love to hear what your summary recommendations. It could be as controversial as it gets, as long as it's a clean enough subject to be put on for public consumption. Let's go. Let's do this, baby.
As soon as you're done listening to this, 36 minutes in, click the link and send it to a friend, and maybe they'll enjoy it too.
Spread the love, baby. Okay, Dovey, it's good to see you.
All right.
See you later.